This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Al-Khalil.
We were previously joined by Dr. Hafa Yunus from America and Ustada Fatima Bint Ibrahim from South Africa. And today we have Ustada Jamaluddin from Australia. Mashallah, these sisters events that we've had have been really beautiful with incredibly inspiring female guest speakers, and today is no different. Mashallah, you know, we're privileged to have Sheikha Jamaluddin. I know that it's 9 o'clock where you are, 9 p.m. in the evening. So mashallah, JazakAllah khair for taking the time to join us today. Before I pass it over to Sheikha, by way of introduction, Sheikha Jamaluddin is an Australian revert to Islam who has a BA in Fiqh and Usul al-Fiqh from Medina International University. She's been a teacher of both Quran and various Islamic sciences at Masjid As-Sunnah in Sydney for more than 14 years. She's a Hafidha and she has an Ijazah in Tajweed. She also attained a BA in languages with a major in Arabic from Western Sydney University. And she's joining us today to talk on the topic of diseases of doubt when it comes to our deen, what are the causes of it, how we can overcome it. And inshallah, if we have time, we will have a Q&A at the end. So I'm going to pass it over to Sheikha Jamaluddin.
Barakallah fiki. Jazakallah khair for inviting me. It's a huge honor to be here tonight. And I really ask Allah Ta'ala to bless this gathering. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to, you know, make this a means to increase all of our iman, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise for Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, my dearest sisters around the world, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So subhanAllah, the topic that I've chosen to speak about tonight is a topic that, you know, in fact, you know, from the greatest trials that a person could ever be tested with in this world is to be tested with, you know, the disease of doubt. You know, when a person, this is a disease where, you know, subhanAllah, a person may begin to start having doubts about Allah Ta'ala, or, you know, doubts about the deen, or doubts about the Quran, or even about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, and Allah Ta'ala describes in the Quran about those who allow these, you know, destructive thoughts to overtake them. And He says, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. So He describes, you know, those who, you know, falsely think, you know, they think evil or suspicious, you know, thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal, that this thinking is something that belongs to Jahiliyyah. It's something that, you know, anyone who has truly known Allah Ta'ala and al-Islam should not think about Allah Ta'ala in such a way, right? So this is why a person needs to be, you know, continually striving to protect themselves from this disease of having what's called su'adhan, right? It's called su'adhan, having, you know, bad thoughts about Allah Ta'ala, you know, having bad thoughts about Allah Ta'ala. You know, why is it so destructive? Because, you know, if you allow such, you know, thinking to overtake you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. You know, it can have a serious impact on your Islam, right? May Allah ta'ala keep us all steadfast. Now, there are so many ways that that, you know, a person can think these bad thoughts about Allah, right? So, for example, if a person, you know, thinks that if they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that he wouldn't answer them. That's quite common, you know, subhanAllah, like shaitan will sometimes whisper that into your mind, right? That if what's the use of me making dua? Allah Ta'ala won't answer my dua anyway, right? Or, you know, that if I put my trust in Allah, that he will not protect me or he won't suffice me. Or if I ask Allah for his help, he's not going to support me. So these are just examples. They're just a few examples of how we can very, very easily we can fall into having bad thoughts about Allah Ta'ala and not thinking about him in the best of ways, in the way that Allah Ta'ala deserves to be thought about, right? And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he actually says that, you know, whoever thinks about Allah, you know, whoever thinks that Allah would not bring victory to his deen and to his book and to his messengers and his awliya from amongst the mu'mineen, this person has thought about Allah in a bad way, right? Because what does Allah Ta'ala tell us in the Quran? He says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, that the only ones who despair of having hope in Allah are the disbelievers, right? So we need to realize that the only way that that in fact a believer should be thinking about Allah is in the best of ways and having the best hopes and, you know, having tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala, you know, and the way we should be thinking about Allah, that if, you know, if I raise my hands and make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will respond to me bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And if I have yaqeen that if I ask Allah sincerely to forgive me for my sins, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive me. And if I put my trust in Allah Ta'ala to achieve my goals, then Allah Ta'ala will suffice me and make it easy for me to achieve that, right? Because Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whoever puts their trust in Allah, then Allah will suffice them. We have so many ayat in the Quran that tell us how Allah Ta'ala, as long as we, you know, as long as we put our trust in Allah, as long as we fear Allah, then Allah will suffice us and find a way out for us, right? And Allah Ta'ala also tells us about, you know, the one who, you know, Allah Ta'ala is as his servant, yani he says, ana inda dhanni abdi bi, right? That I am as my servant thinks I am. So this hadith is showing us how we need to be having the best thoughts about Allah Ta'ala and having the best hopes in Allah, right? So before I get into speaking about how we can help ourselves to overcome having these bad thoughts about Allah, because that's the main point of what we're going to be talking about tonight, right? How we can help ourselves overcome having these bad thoughts, because I'm sure most of us here, none of us like enjoy having that experience. And that's why, inshallah, hopefully, you know, all of you have come with that intention, bi'idhnillah, to try to help yourself to, you know, to overcome this problem. But before I get into that, I just wanted to first of all speak about some of the reasons why so many people at this time in particular are struggling with this particular problem, right? So first of all, if we have a look at, you know, the situation we're living in right now, you know, you can see how people today are so overexposed to all kinds of ideas and arguments in a way like never before, right? Like, think about it, you know, on the one hand, you've got a situation where most people are lucky that if they even have a basic level of knowledge of their deen, right? That's on the one hand. And on the other hand, you've got a situation where people are interacting with spaces like the internet, which is, you know, it's filled with all kinds of quite complex discussions and all kinds of issues in the deen that most people would never, you know, in the past, a person would never have, you know, come across such, you know, complex type of discussions unless they had been maybe studying for years and you're delving into the books. All right. So this is what we're in now, right? And then on top of that, you have a lot of, you know, those who, for example, enter into, say, the tertiary setting. And then they find themselves facing a wave of, you know, conflicting ideologies and philosophies. And yet that same person quite often has only got a rudimentary foundation in Islam. So what I'm trying to say here is that I think it's very important for us to acknowledge the challenge of the time that we're living in, right? That for so many, the situation you're finding yourself in is that it's like you basically have thrown someone in the middle of the ocean and you haven't even taught them how to swim. Okay, so we're already sort of setting ourselves up for some serious struggle, in other words, due to the situation we're in, right? So that's one of the reasons why we can see why people are struggling a lot more than what they would have in the past. Now, another reason also that can cause people to struggle as well and to have, bad thoughts and stuff like that is something else to consider. And that is that some people could have had certain, you know, traumas or bad experiences that they've gone through in the past. And then, you know, due to that, it can cause them to view many things in a negative way. And unfortunately, sometimes that even comes into their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, right? Look, myself, you know, having been teaching sisters for like a good 20 years, in my time, you know, there's been plenty of times I've come across some, you know, really even very practicing sisters, but due to some quite traumatic experiences that they had gone through growing up, you know, for example, they could never feel they were good enough for Allah to forgive them, right? Or they doubted whether Allah Ta'ala would, you know, answer their dua. So what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, sometimes you might be very focused on these particular doubts that you're having, but it's important for you to also step back and try to understand, you know, the root causes for why you might be having these doubts in the first place. Because sometimes it can even be related to, you know, one's mental health, you know, or even it can be self-esteem issues as well. So these are all things to consider, right? Now, another thing that can contribute to people's doubts, right? If someone has experienced things like, you know, abuse or, you know, say hypocrisy from Muslims, especially those who are considered, say, you know, those who are considered to be like leaders or role models, right? And this could even be someone's husband. It could be a community leader. It could have been your parents, okay? So all of these people that you tend to look up to, if you've seen some type, you've experienced some type of serious hypocrisy from these people or, you know, abuse, then often you will find that some people, they go through quite a stage of being seriously tested, you know, with doubts sometimes because of this experience, right? And especially if they don't have the knowledge or the proper support network to fall back on. You know, and especially, unfortunately, if the ones who've hurt you have used Islam to justify their actions, okay? Because what I've seen over the years is that that's when people will start to really sometimes, you know, question the whole of Islam itself due to that. The people who are the most vulnerable I've found over the years in particular are reverts, right? Because they just don't have that practicing family to sort of support them. They often don't have enough knowledge as well. But also it's not just reverts, right? We all know there's plenty of born Muslims out there that haven't had that really healthy upbringing, you know, proper, you know, Islamic upbringing, like in a healthy way. Maybe they had very over rigid parenting, for example, and all of those things have helped them to, you know, to sometimes it's caused them to end up questioning Islam due to the experience they've had, right? All right, another thing we also have to consider as well is what, you know, we could call it internalized Islamophobia, right? So if you can imagine that if you're told something over and over, if you're told something enough over and over again, you will start to believe it. So we need to realize that continual criticism of Islam that we get living in the West, you know, we face it day in and day out, it can eventually begin to influence your own perception of Islam, right? And again, if you haven't come from a family where Islam was practiced in a healthy way, and again, if you don't have that you haven't got a strong foundation in Islam to start out with, which as we know, many of our youth don't have that, then you can start to believe that narrative that you're being fed over and over again, you know, through the media or even within the secular educational setting. Now, what makes this even worse is when that same person then experiences those same Islamophobic messages that they've been fed in, you know, in the Islamic community, right? Now, we have to be honest here, like this is what happens with some sisters. And that is, for example, many of you will know that growing up in the West, one of the narratives we're constantly fed is that, you know, Islam oppresses women, you know, Muslim men oppress their wives. And we've been told this over and over again, right? Now, what happens when a sister is, for example, tested with, you know, a husband who, for example, abuses her, or, you know, she finds her local masjid doesn't sincerely do their best to accommodate and include sisters in the same way they would their brothers, you know, or, you know, she experiences Muslim brothers who don't, you know, treat their sisters in Islam in a respectful manner, right? So it's issues like that that help to reinforce all of these negative stereotypes that we've been fed about Islam. Okay, so we need to realize that what I'm trying to say here, first of all, is that there are many different factors that are contributing to why so many people are having doubts about their deen in these times. And in order for us to deal with this, it's really important that we take a step back from the very beginning and try to work out what the root causes for that might be within ourselves, because it's just so many issues. Like, so it's very hard for me to, you know, pinpoint everything because everyone's experience is different, but I'm just trying to open up your minds to think about, you know, there can be a lot of other reasons going on behind the scenes that you haven't maybe considered. But look, ultimately, whatever the root cause of a person's doubts might be, we need to acknowledge that we are living in a time in which there are just a multitude of, you know, negative forces and pressures that we are all facing in trying to remain steadfast upon our deen. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually warned us about, that, you know, as time goes by and as we come closer to the end of times, he tells us, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَّرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Like, he tells us that that whoever lives long from amongst you should expect to see a lot of differing and, you know, confusing matters. And in fact, in within this hadith that's mentioned, recorded by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only describes this trial that we're going to face, but he also gives us the remedy for how to deal with it. So if you look at this whole hadith, he starts off by saying, Usikum bitaqwallah, right? So he says, I advise you with the taqwa of Allah. So, you know, if you want to know how to navigate around all of these, you know, confusing issues that we are facing right now, then first of all, the first thing you need to have is the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because, subhanAllah, sisters, you know, when you truly put Allah Ta'ala first in all of your affairs, and your number one aim in this life is the ridha of Allah Ta'ala, like, you know, you're seeking the pleasure of Allah in all that you do, then you'll find that, subhanAllah, the taqwa in your heart itself will help to guide you and make it easy for you to be able to distinguish between the haqq and the batil, you know, between the truth and the falsehood. And this is why one of the important principles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us in all of our affairs, he tells us, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk, right? Leave what makes you doubt to that which does not make you doubt. All right, so we have to realize that having taqwa is the first and, you know, and most important thing you need to have in order to know how to deal with, like, or how to, you know, face all of these, you know, controversial matters. Now, in this hadith, he says, "Usikum bitaqwallah wa sammi wa ta'a," right? And then he tells us that the second thing he says in this hadith was, "Wa sammi wa ta'a wa in ta'ammar alaykum 'abd." So he tells us that, you know, you need to stick to your leaders and you need to obey your leaders. Now, of course, in our context, you know, we don't have the Muslim ruler over us to follow, but you know, our leaders in our case should be our ulama and people of knowledge. So this is why we need to be resorting to, you know, the scholars in times of doubts and confusion. Like Allah Ta'ala tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, right? Ask the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge, if you don't know, right? And then the next thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in this hadith, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ, right? That, and upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. So in other words, you know, stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the righteous, the rightly guided Khulafa, who are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, radiallahu anhum jami'an, right? In other words, the more you go back to the original sources of your deen, like if you want to know your way and how to be, you know, on the straight path in all of these times of confusion, then the more you go back to the original sources of our deen, the more you take the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your dalil, you know, as your evidence, and you follow the way of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin in their understanding and implementing of the sunnah, then the more that everything will become clearer to you in being able to distinguish between the haqq and the batil. And this is exactly why I always tell sisters that, you know, especially at this time when our ummah is being constantly exposed to, you know, so many different types of, you know, deviant lifestyles and ways of thinking, you know, it's imperative that all of us are trying to seek knowledge in some way or another for this very reason, right? Because if you don't have the knowledge, how are you going to recognize what is that sunnah that you need to be clinging to? And that, and in the next part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Abdu alayha bin nawajith," right? So bite onto this, sunnah. You know, grip onto it with your teeth, you know, with your molars, and don't let go. And you know, and the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he says this is because he wanted to warn us that a time will come when holding onto one's deen is going to get so difficult, to the level that it will become like trying to hold onto a hot coal. So unless you hold tight to the clear teachings of the Quran and Sunnah in such times, then you won't be able to remain steadfast upon your deen, right? And then finally in this hadith, he says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And beware of the newly invented matters, for every innovation is a misguidance. So here we need to realize that all good is found in following the way of the Salaf and the early generations of this Ummah, and all evil is to be found in the newly invented matters in the later generations. So that's why what we can say here is that whenever you feel confused about any issue in the deen, then the, you know, the guidance is to go back to the original sources of our deen, you know, and follow the clear proofs based upon the reliable sources of our deen in the way that they were understood and acted upon by the Salaf of this Ummah. You know, because, you know, we know that this deen of Islam is not based upon hawa, it's not based upon following one's desires or personal preferences or opinions. Rather, the deen of al-Islam and our Sharia is based upon, you know, solid foundations, you know, the sources of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah and the Ijma'ah, the consensus of the scholars and the Ummah, and from whatever has been passed down to us by the rightly guided scholars of our Ummah, right? So this is just, I'm just giving you one of the ahadith in which the Messenger of Allah told us or gave us guidance in how to face the confusions that we face today, which all are sources of doubt for us as well. Okay, but now what I want to do is I just want to get into specifically speaking about how to overcome doubts. All right, so first of all, you need to realize that having negative thoughts pass through your mind from time to time is actually something quite normal. All right, and if you look at, there's a hadith in Muslim in which, you know, some of the companions, and this is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam And they told him that, you know, we find in ourselves, sometimes we have these thoughts that they are so terrible, we cannot even mention them. And so he asked them, you know, he said, do you really have such thoughts? And they said, yes. Like they felt ashamed of themselves. They're having such thoughts, right? He said, ذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ, that this is a sign of clear faith. So the fact that they were so worried and anxious about having such bad thoughts to the level that they felt they couldn't bring themselves to even speak about that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us that this is in fact a clear sign of them having iman, of having, you know, having faith. Because if a person didn't have such a level of faith, then they wouldn't even feel concerned or be worried about having such thoughts, subhanAllah. So, you know, a lot of people don't discuss this issue. That's why, alhamdulillah, I really felt this is an important topic to speak about, because a lot of people don't know how to, you know, to broach the subject. They feel ashamed that they're having these thoughts. So that's why it's better to get it out in the open and to realize that, you know, this is quite normal to have these thoughts, but the important thing is to know how to deal with them, right? So realize that these thoughts will come to most people from time to time, but also realize that the more vulnerable you are, the more likely you are to be trialed with these doubts. Now, what I mean by vulnerable, okay, is that, for example, the weaker your iman is, or, you know, the less knowledge you have, or, you know, and this is something I just want you to consider as well, if you do happen to have a type of mental health condition, you know, that can make things more difficult for you sometimes, right? Again, like I told you before, or mentioned before about, you know, if you had some sort of previous trauma as well. So these are all factors that we need to consider, that they can possibly make us more susceptible to being trialed with doubts. You know, for example, with myself, I know that when I first, you know, converted to Islam, you know, I remember the vulnerability I felt. Like I was just getting bombarded by people trying to bring me back to Christianity. You know what I mean? And, you know, in fact, one of the main catalysts that, you know, pushed me into seeking knowledge and, you know, proactively seeking out good company in order to strengthen myself was that feeling of vulnerability. I knew that if I did not do that, I was not going to survive in Islam. All right. So, you know, the other thing is that if you know that you're someone who's prone to, you know, negative thinking, like some people just are prone to negative thinking, it's really worth considering seeking out a Muslim psychologist to deal with that. And this is actually an avenue that a lot of Muslims unfortunately do not consider with issues like this. They don't realize the very real impact that your mental health can actually have on your spiritual connection. Like some people are doing everything, sisters. Like they're praying, they're fasting, they're doing dhikr, they're doing Quran, but they have all these negative thoughts. You know what I'm trying to say? So sometimes it's worth looking into other avenues to work out where that could be coming from. All right, the second thing I want to talk, the second advice for overcoming these negative thoughts is obviously not to purposely seek out paths of doubt, right? Look, one of the lessons we learn from when Dajjal comes is that no matter how much iman a person may think they have, but we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us not to go to him, because basically he tells us that whoever goes to him will be put to trial by him, due to how much fitna he will be for people. Now, similar to this is what we find many people doing, which is that they actually cause themselves to have unnecessary doubts and confusions due to them purposely seeking out or exposing themselves to deviated or, you know, deviant ideologies, right? Like, for example, someone who goes and purposely reads books about atheism. Or they go to certain websites that they know were created for the very purpose of casting doubts about Islam. Okay, so imagine, sisters, if the scholars of the past used to strongly warn against going to sit with people of innovation and listening to them, then how much more should we be consciously avoiding opening ourselves up to these paths of fitna, right? Which we know have been created with the main purpose behind them is to cast doubts into the hearts and minds. So we need to realize that, you know, each of us has a responsibility to protect our hearts from that which can cause us to fall into fitna and deviation. All right, so that's the second point. And then the third point I want to mention is that if certain doubts are haunting you, then my advice is to address them and don't ignore them. You know, be proactive in trying to seek out the answers and don't allow them to settle in your heart and to fester and to grow, right? And look, this is where we need to be seeking out answers from people of knowledge. And if you haven't found the right answer with that person, then, you know, don't stop in your path. Like, keep trying until inshallah Allah guides you to the right person who can give you the answer that satisfies you. And look, my advice also, of course, here, which is very important, is to keep praying to Allah Azza wa Jal for him to show you the answers, you know, and to heal your heart also from, you know, any doubts that you may be having, and, you know, ask him to replace it with, you know, with that inner peace, inshallah. All right, because this is sometimes, you know, this could be just a test that, you know, Allah Ta'ala is testing you with. And it could be about, you know, and I myself, you know, when I, as I said, in my journey to Islam, I definitely went through times where I was very tested with doubts, but subhanAllah, I found that Allah strengthened me so much by going through that experience. So it's not necessarily a negative thing for you. It can be something that really helps you to grow and become stronger, inshallah. All right, now the fourth thing I wanted to mention is basically the prophetic method for overcoming doubts. Because there's a number of ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically mentions about what to do in the case of having these negative thoughts or these doubts. Okay, so as we said earlier, that, you know, first of all, it's very important that we realize that, you know, if you happen to have that passing negative thought, first of all, I'll say this, that don't be so hard on yourself. All right, just realize that the fact that you're even concerned and that you feel guilty for having such a thought is actually a sign of you having true iman. Because as we said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, this is what he told those sahaba who had been struggling with having those bad thoughts, right? That dhalika sarihul iman. So, you know, and remind yourself also that ultimately it's only a thought. You know, and your thoughts don't define you. They're not who you are. All right. So don't give it too much weight, because in reality, thoughts are, you know, from shaitan, right? The shaitan, that's all he's able to do, whisper into your heart and cause you some type of grief or anxiety. But ultimately, those thoughts cannot harm you unless you allow them to. All right. Now, in a number of ahadith, like I said, the Messenger of Allah showed us certain methods that we can use. So in one hadith, he mentions how the shaitan would come to one of you. So you start asking, you know, who created this and who created that, until a person would say, and who created Allah, right? Then the Messenger of Allah tells us, فَإِذَا بَلَغَهُ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ. That if you become overcome with those type of thoughts, you should seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala and cut off those thoughts, right? In another narration, he says that if that happens to you, say, Amantu billahi wa rasulihi. Say, I believe in Allah and his messenger. In another narration still, he mentions how a person, if this happened to them, should say, Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. So basically you say Surah Al-Ikhlas, right? And then it mentions how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions how then to dry spit to one's left three times and seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. So I'm going to go through these one by one again, just so that we can put all this together. So if we take all these different narrations that, you know, in which the Messenger of Allah mentioned what to do in the case of having these doubts, the first thing he mentions is al-isti'adha, you know, seeking refuge with Allah Ta'ala, you know, resorting to Allah Ta'ala from these, you know, evil thoughts that have come in our minds or our hearts from the shaitan. And like I said, in some narrations, it mentions dry spitting to one's left three times, right? And then also he says, وَلْيَنْتَهِ. So then to cut off that thought. In other words, you know, don't give that thought weight. You know, don't allow yourself to keep thinking about that thought and, you know, start to overthink it too much, right? Instead, just ignore that thought, you know, cut it off and make yourself busy with other beneficial things, right? So that you don't keep focusing on it. So, for example, make yourself busy with doing dhikr of Allah Ta'ala or al-istighfar, you know, something like that that's going to get your mind off it. Then the other thing he mentions to do, the Messenger of Allah, he mentions, is to say, amantu billahi wa rasulihi, to say, I believe in Allah and his messenger. So what we see here is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, after seeking refuge with Allah Ta'ala from these thoughts, to then declare to yourself and basically, you know, recenter yourself upon what you are certain of, which is that I believe in Allah and I believe in his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, one of the things we learn from psychology is that saying a positive statement to yourself aloud can have a strong impact in helping you overcome negative, you know, thoughts that you may be having. And that's why you'll find they often encourage you to make those, you know, positive affirmations, if you've ever heard about that, right? So it's really interesting how the Sunnah teaches us, you know, to make such a, you know, obviously it's the most positive of statements, saying you believe in Allah and his messenger, right? It's really interesting how the Sunnah is teaching us this, subhanAllah. Like, I find it absolutely amazing. The other thing the Messenger of Allah mentions here too is to recite Surat Al-Ikhlas. You know, and subhanAllah, if you think about this surah, Surat Al-Ikhlas, it's from the greatest surahs, it's from amongst the greatest surahs in the Quran, you know, because the surah itself, Surat Al-Ikhlas, is all about purifying one's belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why if someone recited it while they're having some doubts, then for sure it will have a powerful effect in removing those doubts. As long as you recited it, obviously, with sincerity and, you know, hoping for Allah Ta'ala to remove that from you. Now, if you think about the ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina taqaw idha massahum ta'ifun min ash-shaytani tadhakkaru fa idha hum mubsirun." So Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf that those who have taqwa of Allah Ta'ala, whenever a party from the shaytan tries to, you know, when shaitan tries to inspire something to them from these type of negative thoughts, that tadhakkaru, that they remember Allah Ta'ala, and then they're able to see aright once more. So this should be the way of the believer, that it's normal for shaitan to try to whisper to you and try to affect you, but the way of the believer is to remember Allah Ta'ala, and this will help you see aright once more. Okay, so the very important method that we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us here is that even if you're really struggling with something right now and you're not able to figure it out, just come back to what you know for sure, right? Which is that you know that Allah, for example, is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. You know he is Al-Hakim, the most wise. You know he is Al-Alim, the one who knows all, and he knows everything, even the most subtle of affairs, right? And you know he is Al-Adl, he is the most just. And you know he is Al-Ghafoor, you know he is the most forgiving, right? So just focus on what you know about Allah Ta'ala, right? Focus on the constants, or you know, what is yani the basics, basically, right, of your Iman. All right, the fifth thing I wanted to mention is it's really important that we are proactive about protecting and maintaining our Iman. Now, especially at these times, it's obviously essential that one is, you know, consciously maintaining their Iman. It's something you do every day. A lot of people, unfortunately, they just think about strengthening their Iman when Ramadan comes around, right? Like, how many times before Ramadan we find the masajid are full with people wanting to come to lessons about Ramadan and strengthening their Iman, But the reality is that this is something we should be doing all year round, okay? Because, you know, Iman is like a fortress that is protecting your heart from the diseases that can creep in. And this is where we realize the importance of maintaining your salah. Like a lot of people do not even understand how essential salah is in your life, right? Salah is what grounds you in your iman, right? Allah Ta'ala tells us in order to get through the trials of this life, you need to be stuck to your salah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبَرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, right? To seek help through being patient and remaining steadfast upon your salah. This is the way for success in this life and to be strong and steadfast in this life, right? And then besides that also is dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, like doing your morning and evening, saying your morning and evening du'as, the du'as of the morning and the evenings. And just in generally being upon dhikr of Allah Ta'ala throughout your day, because again, dhikr of Allah is like a fortress for one's heart. It protects the shaitan, it protects against the shaitan having any ability to, you know, infiltrate and place doubts in your heart, okay? Besides that, of course, which is very important as well, is having a close relationship with the Quran. Because, you know, for example, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam, that, you know, verily this Quran, it guides to everything which is upright. It guides to everything which is upright, right? So realize that, you know, reciting a lot of Quran, and I'm not talking about just reciting the Quran here, I'm talking about with tadabbur, you know, with pondering upon the meanings. This is what causes a person's heart to basically be given light from Allah Ta'ala, you know, to enable them to be able to distinguish between the haqq, you know, from the batil, especially in these times, right? And I really recommend everybody tries to memorize as much of the Quran as they can, because the heart filled with Quran is not like the heart that's not filled with the Quran, right? And we know also that the Quran is like an ultimate shifa, like Allah sent the Quran as a shifa for all of the diseases of the heart, right? It's a shifa only ma fi sudur. Allah tells us it's a shifa lima fi sudur. He sent it as a cure for everything that's in the hearts and in the chests. Right, so that's some of the ways we want to maintain our iman. But also from what helps nourish one's iman is seeking knowledge, seeking the beneficial knowledge. Now the knowledge I'm speaking about here that we need to be primarily focused on is like learning one's aqidah. And, you know, learning about Allah Azza wa Jal and, you know, his beautiful names and, you know, the knowledge that relates to the six pillars of al-Iman. That in particular is a type of knowledge that you need to be focusing on. Also, of course, tafsir of the Quran, you know, and learning your basic fiqh of, you know, how to pray, how to fast. You know, those are the types of knowledge that you need to be focusing on. They are things that help you to really strengthen your Iman, inshallah. Then besides that as well, what else helps you to maintain your iman? Obviously, is keeping good company, right? Seeking out the right company that helps to strengthen you to stay steadfast upon the straight path. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, right? That a person will be upon the religion of his friend. All right, so if you want to be strong in your iman, you do need to seek out the right company that's going to help you to stay motivated and to stay, you know, steadfast upon your deen. And now I understand that not everybody has the best environment where they are, right? But alhamdulillah, you know, we're living in a time where we have, you know, social media, and that can be, I mean, social media can be a vice, but it can be a blessing depending on how we use it. And, you know, alhamdulillah, there are a lot of positive role models out there. There are even scholars, you know, that you can follow online. And these are the type of people you should be looking for to help strengthen your iman, inshallah. Now, besides maintaining our iman, it's also important that you protect your iman from what weakens it. All right. So realize too, while you're trying to maintain your iman, You can't be, also, you can't be, you know, exposing your iman to what harms it. So, you know, things like, you know, exposing yourself to any type of haram, you know, being careless about sins, you know, not guarding your eyes and your ears from what can corrupt it. You know, like whether you're like just things that, you know, take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, listening to music or looking at Madhvatekdas pornography, things like that. You know, all of this is just weakening a person's heart, you know what I mean? And makes your heart vulnerable to any type of doubts entering into it. So just be aware that don't think that you can just, you know, be careless with sins and be careless with the haram and not expect some type of, you know, consequence from what you're doing. So this is why it is very important to protect our hearts from fitna, okay? So I'm going to finish up, inshallah. I'm nearly finished now. So the sixth point that I think is important as well, and that is, you know, it is important for us to, when we have these thoughts, especially if we keep, you know, thinking, if we, you know, sometimes we all do that. Like you might think, you might question, why is Allah doing this to me right now? Or, you know, why am I going through this? You know, when you, like, subhanAllah, it's important that we also repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from thinking about Allah in a way that he does not deserve. Okay, because if we turn to the Quran, we see that, how does Allah describe himself to us? So for example, he says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, right? That Allah does not oppress anyone, all right? And then we know that, you know, Allah Ta'ala is the one who there is nothing that he does and there's nothing that he's commanded for, except it's out of his absolute hikmah, his absolute wisdom, you know, that, you know, often, obviously, we're not always able to understand, you know, why Allah Ta'ala has destined a certain thing to happen. But this is where we need to have what's called al-istislam. You know, we need to have, like, we need to be able to surrender ourselves to whatever Allah Ta'ala has, you know, destined to happen, or even whatever Allah Ta'ala has commanded for, even if we don't always understand it at the time. This is all part of, that's all part of your test of being a Muslim. That's what makes you a Muslim, that you surrender. What does Islam mean? It comes from, you know, it's related to the word al-istislam, you know, which means surrendering and submitting yourself to Allah Ta'ala in obedience, even if you don't always understand the reason for why Allah Ta'ala, you know, has commanded a certain thing, or, you know, that he has destined, you know, commanded for something to happen. Always remember that ultimately our minds are, you know, restricted. You know, we're only humans, we're only creations, that we have, there's still a limit to our minds, what our minds can comprehend. As Allah tells us in the Quran as well, he says, La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun, right? He tells us that he's not the one to be asked about what he does, rather we are the ones to be asked, okay? They are the ones to be asked. So this is, sometimes Allah might put you through this test so that you learn how to have true ubudiyah to Allah. You learn what is the meaning of being a true Muslim, that it's not always you're going to understand everything, but even if you don't understand it, you still say sami'na wa ata'na. All right. Lastly, you know, and this is the most important of all, really, and that is always make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps you upon the straight path. And I think here we need to say that we all need to be humble in this, in regards to this, you know, and realize that no one is safe. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, it doesn't matter how many great deeds you've done, no one is safe. As long as, you know, as long as you haven't placed your foot in Jannah yet, you know, it's kind of like none of us is safe. And this is exactly why when we stand before Allah Ta'ala, in every rak'at we pray to him and we say, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, we really should be trying to say that as consciously as possible, right? Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Because the reality is that none of us has the ability or power to stay guided unless Allah Ta'ala keeps us steadfast, right? And, you know, finishing up, I remind you all of the dua that the Prophet, it's from the most, it's from a dua that the Messenger of Allah used to say the most, which is, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. You know, O turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. And I imagine the messenger of Allah was the one saying this so much. And let's be real and let's be honest. How often do we, subhanAllah, say this dua, and how much are we in need, especially in these times of fitna, for Allah Ta'ala to keep our hearts steadfast? So I ask Allah Ta'ala that He fills our heart with the sweetness of Iman. I ask Allah Ta'ala that He removes any types of doubts from our hearts and fills our hearts with inner peace and submission to Allah. And may He make us all pleased with Allah as our Lord and with Al-Islam as our deen and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our prophet and messenger. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sisters.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for talking on this really important and relevant topic and reminding us the importance of a believer thinking good of Allah, having hope and complete yaqeen in Allah. And I think you provided a very honest reflection of what may cause someone to lose that hope and have doubt, such as, you know, people using Islam to justify their actions. And I'm sure many of the sisters that were listening were able to relate to it. I think more than that, you gave some really practical ways to overcome this, such as, you know, the importance of having taqwa, seeking pleasure of Allah, referring only to original sources of the deen, authentic sources, to keep praying to Allah to heal our hearts, you know, to develop steadfastness when it comes to salah, having a better relationship with the Quran, seeking knowledge, good company, repentance. So mashallah, I think we've all got a lot to take away from your talk. I know there's been a few questions which have been forwarded to you, so I'm not sure if you're able to answer some of them.
Yes, inshallah, have a look here. So one of the sisters is saying here, I'm a revert and often these doubts come to me in the voice of my non-Muslim relatives. It makes me feel ashamed of my belief in Islam. And even though I love Allah and strongly believe, this feeling of shame is difficult to fight. So like I was saying to you, it's really important that you reframe that. Like, and as I tried to reframe it for you in the talk, to realize that this is not something to be ashamed of. It's actually the fact that you're worried about that is actually a beautiful sign. It shows that you really do believe and you don't want to believe what they're saying. And I also want to say something here that I also went through that too. In the very beginning when I first became Muslim, I also went through that as well. But I found that subhanAllah over time, you know, over the years, as Allah Ta'ala strengthened me, I felt that voice became until it was nothing, you know, until alhamdulillah, like, you know what I'm trying to say, inshallah, you will overcome it, bi-idhnillah. Of course, it takes time. You need to be patient with yourself, but like, you know, keep on doing those things I mentioned in the lesson with regards to, you know, knowledge and good company and trying to find the right environments and all of that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, over time, it will go away. Even, of course, ask Allah to help you to overcome that. Now, just so you know as well, I think most of you know, I mean, you're all on Facebook probably anyway, like, so if you ever need anything, I did put myself out there, you know, on Instagram, on Facebook. For those of you who may want to just ask questions, like, I'll try my best because I do get quite busy, but you are able to inbox me if you do have questions you wanted answered. I did try to put myself there because I knew how difficult it is for some people to find, you know, to find people to speak to and ask, right? What else? Okay, so another sister is saying, I'm asking this question on behalf of my sister. She doesn't have, she's not motivated towards, you know, her iman. She believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she started losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so look, as I said to you, I can't really 100% understand this question, but from what I can understand is that she tried to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, you know, answer her dua, maybe in the way she wanted, and she gave up hope. But, you know, here it's really important for us to understand that sometimes we may love something, as Allah tells us in the Quran, you know, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, right? So sometimes, you know, you may love something, but Allah knows it's not good for you. And you may hate something, and Allah knows it's best for you. So this is where, you know, there are going to be times we can be very severely tested sometimes in this life for things. And this is where Allah's testing us, you know, to see, you know, the level of our, you know, the level of our submission to what Allah has destined. But look, in saying that, I also want to say something here, and that is, it's important sometimes to also seek help with, say, a Muslim psychologist, because sometimes it's because you've given up on everything in life. You know, some people, the reason why they don't have that great connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because they're just negative about everything in life. So sometimes you may need to get them help. All right. Besides that, I also do have another talk. It's all about al-qadr. It's all about predestination. It's on my YouTube channel. I do have a YouTube channel too. So maybe you'd like to direct her to listen to that, if that would help. But other than that, I would suggest that you perhaps think about getting her to see someone, because she may be going through some type of depression as well. All right. Some of these questions, you know, when you ask, for example, how do we deal with doubts about certain religious preachings? That is such a broad topic that it's very hard for me to answer that. So I just need you, if you would like to, as I said, inbox me and be specific, I can probably help you more there. But as you know, there is Al-Yaqeen Institute, and they are trying really hard to debunk a lot of the doubts that people have about certain teachings. You can also try there. Some people get a lot of help seeking out their website. So that's a really good question. So someone is asking here, is having a small doubt like punishable, right? So just so you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that inna Allah tajawaza li ummati ma hadathat bihi anfusuha ma lam tatakallam aw ta'mal bih, right? So in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that, you know, Allah Ta'ala has overlooked for my ummah that which he basically whispers to himself, like that you think about it in yourself, as long as you don't speak about it or act upon it. Okay, so having small amount of doubt like that, it's not something punishable, but definitely, like I said, you would want to seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan when you're aware of it. And also it's worth asking forgiveness, because like there's, you know, al-istighfar is something that, you know, polishes our heart anyway. Okay, so it's very recommended to do that. And because you want to try to repel it, okay, so that it doesn't become bigger. That's the point. Now, someone else is asking, how can you advise, how can you deal with anxiety? I try so much to get rid of the thoughts in my mind. However, it's really hard, especially at night. And it gets to a point where I feel like nothing around me is real. And then the anxiety happens. So like here, sisters, and if there's any brothers here as well, there's a whole lot of, like, we can talk about it from the Islamic aspect. I mean, we don't have much time, but we can talk about it from the Islamic aspect. But if your anxiety is getting out of control, you really should go and seek, you know, a help from a mental health professional. They can help you with negative thinking and overcoming anxiety. And it's very useful for you to do so. But look, I'll just tell you quickly some of the things you can do, which we already had mentioned some of them. And one of them is, as soon as the negative thought comes to your mind, to seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the shaitan. You can spit to the left dryly. You can try to cut off your thought, try not to think about it anymore. Get up and take wudu, for example. Change position. Realize that that thought cannot harm you. It's only a thought. Say Ayatul Kursi, you know. Read the last three surahs of the Quran over yourself and blow into your hands and wipe. And then do it three, you know, and repeat that three times. So do it as a ruqya for yourself, the last three surahs of the Quran, Surat Al-Ikhlas, Surat Al-Falaq, Surat Al-Nas. If you do things like this, this will really help you to overcome your, bi-idhnillah, it will help, okay? And of course, when you're reciting the Quran over yourself, you put your trust in Allah Ta'ala that, you know, this is His words, all right? These are the words. The Quran is the words of Allah Ta'ala. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with His help, that He will, you know, take this anxiety, remove this anxiety from you, inshallah. And as for your other question, how can we protect ourselves from the dangers of music and clubbing? You've got to realize the fitna that causes you, the weakness that it's going to cause to your iman, and how much it's going to impact you. If you really want to make it safely to Jannah, you have to make some serious choices in this dunya. All right, remember that this life is very short, and very soon we're going to be standing in front of Allah Ta'ala, and this life is one, it's one test, and you only get one chance, and if you fail this test, you can't come back and do it again. So keep that in your mind, and this inshallah will help you to be able to stay away from environments that are going to pull you straight to the hellfire. I'm going to protect us. All right, we'll leave it there. Inshallah, that's enough. As I said, I'm there for you if you need any questions answered. Inshallah.